What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Warning. This is a comedy podcast that provides an irreverent, sarcastic, less than serious look at events described in the Bible. It contains profanity and explicit content and may not be suitable for children under 14. Listener discretion and a sense of humor strongly advised.
In a world where the Holy Bible is actually a streaming television show with a gigantic special effects budget, two people boldly watch and review every episode. Join these scripture script doctors as they discuss all the on-screen drama and off-screen hijinks of this fictional hit series.
Hey listeners, it's Deanna with some exciting news. We have launched a Patreon. Visit us at patreon.com/wrathofpod to get access to exclusive content and ad-free listening. We're really excited about what's coming up this season, and you don't want to miss what we've got planned. Join us at patreon.com/wrathofpod to support the show. Thanks. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Wrath of Pod. This is Deanna.
And this is Marcus.
And I thought we were starting with a cool battle sequence where God himself was going to be leading the army and fighting off the Canaanites, but no. We open right back where we started and we are still at this retirement party. How surprised were you by this?
Yeah, pretty surprised. Maybe I shouldn't be, but they really set it up so that we were going to have God. I was imagining him kind of like strolling out into the battle, you know, maybe with a giant club or something like that, or a wizard staff, and just like letting people have it. But instead, we're back at the retirement party with a lot of dialogue.
And Moses is still alive. I think we need one of those counters on the wall, right? Like, this facility has gone 40 years without the death of a prophet and still counting.
Yeah. So would that be like a certain number of days since the last time his death was forewarned, something like that?
Something like that. I was thinking since he's been alive, right? Just like a Moses counter in general, number of days that he's been in charge, and he's still there.
It's a surprise, but as I suggested last time, maybe this is part of his strategy. Mm-hmm. Maybe he is deliberately prolonging it for as long as possible, just stretching it out.
That makes a lot of sense. And it also makes a lot of sense of some of these weird rumors that I've been seeing online about this maybe being the last season that they're going to do of the Holy Bible. Have you seen this? Do you have any intel on this? Given what's been going on this season and through a little bit of the last couple of seasons, wouldn't be too much of a surprise if the studio finally cut them off.
I don't know. I mean, did you hear why?
You know, some of these interviews with the showrunners were clearly they can't say anything. And they're like, you know, we're going to try exploring some different directions. I think people are going to be really excited with what we're doing at the end of this season. You know how vague they can be, all of these non-disclosure agreements kicking in. So it's all just vague rumors and people losing their shit on Reddit. So I'm not going to give it too much credence, but I thought we should chat about it a little bit.
Well, given how they've been running the show recently, you would think that one reason might be they're just running out of material because they seem to be repeating themselves quite a lot in a lot of the dialogue. Or maybe their heart isn't in it. You just kind of get the sense that they've got very few plot points that they're stretching out across enormous amounts of content. It's feeling very kind of thin.
Yeah, I think it's that second one. I can't imagine that they're out of ideas for this world. Like, you and I will regularly come up with like three or four banger ideas every episode here. So they're not talking to us. Possibly the creative team wants to move on to something else or explore different aspects of the world. So we'll see. I don't have any firm news, but when we do, we will bring it to you, dear listeners.
Yes, indeed. We'll keep an eye on that. So with that, why don't we begin talking about season 5, episode 2 of The Holy Bible.
Last time on Wrath of Pod.
I think the very first thing I want to ask is, what is a Deuteronomy? What the fuck does that mean?
So we open on Moses, and as the camera pans around, we see that there's a kind of a gathering here, and this is kind of the approach that Moses has taken, more of a retirement party of sorts. He's taking the time to review for everyone various things that have happened.
It's sort of a clip show, but sort of not. It's like stuff that happened during the events of season 4, but that we didn't actually see in season 4. They're really trying to keep us guessing here. Moses reminds everyone that they spent the bulk of their journey, so 38 out of the 40 years in this area, between Kadesh Barnea to the Valley of the Zered.
And there is an interesting little note there that Moses seems fixated on, because he mentions that not only was Og the descendant of the giants, but also that he said he had a giant iron bedstead.
So like we said, we jump straight back into where we left off last time. We are still at the retirement party. It's starting to wrap up. Moses has definitely had a few too many at this point, and he keeps coming back to what happened when God said that he wouldn't be allowed to get to Canaan. So Moses reports that he pleaded with God that he should be allowed to come with the rest of the people and lead them to Canaan, and God refused. He is really upset about this. He got very emotional during this part of the speech.
Yeah, strange him to get as emotional about something that we didn't really see. At the time, he kind of accepted it, if I'm remembering correctly. But now we learn that there was these moments where he was actually speaking to God in private, kind of on his knees, pleading with him to let him complete his mission.
Yeah, and it is so strange that this is all tell, not show. We didn't get this scene at the time in the chronology when it happened. We don't get a flashback. I mean, I like watching the Moses actor do this emotion. I think he delivered this part of the speech very well, and you certainly felt sympathetic. But how much better would it have been if we could have gotten that scene of Moses actually having shimmied up the fire pole to talk to God in person and say, please let me go with them? Like, oh man, that could have been heartbreaking, and we just didn't get it.
My Lord, please, mercy, mercy.
Also slightly awkward at the time of him saying this, that God was in the background still at the retirement party, kind of looking at his nails, kind of like chewing some gum, looking a little bit sheepish, trying to look relaxed, trying to look chill, like it's all part of the plan. In the back of the retirement party, bit awkward there.
But yeah, this is a super harsh punishment, right? Social exclusion really sucks. God's like, yep, everybody else can come to the party. Cool party in Canaan. Come on, everybody's coming to the party. Oh, not you, Moses. You stay home.
And you can't sit with us.
And that's after Moses actually was the one leading them there. So not only was he going to be left out of the party, but he's the one who's organized the party or tried to. So it's like he's the party organizer now being told, no, you can't actually attend.
Yeah.
So super harsh.
We'll take it from here. You can do the organizing, and then you can be in the back room, you know, finishing up the billing and making sure that the party motivators get paid. But we're going to be the ones actually out there on the dance floor. I bet God can cut a rug. I think he's got some moves.
Oh, on the dance floor?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Haven't we seen him dance?
There's a little bit of like drunken flailing at some of the weddings. But I bet if he's pressed, he can pull out a mean electric slide.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
he
can moonwalk.
Oh,
yes.
He's going to
moonwalk for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to lead like a full like thriller flash mob situation with super realistic zombie makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He'll actually have people resurrected just for the dance number, and then have them back in the grave.
Yeah. Right. Yes, definitely. That is what's happening. And Moses doesn't get to see it. Sad.
No.
And I think there's some wisdom in this, right? Social exclusion is the worst punishment. God really wants to stick it to Moses. So it's not plagues. It's not fiery serpents or whatever else he has in his arsenal. It's you don't get to come to our party. Like, that is correct. That is the worst punishment, is being left out. I'm with you, God.
It's FOMO. God's worst punishment is FOMO.
Yes. Oh, that is so true. See, even when this show is rehashing old material, it's still got insights to bring us.
Amen. So Moses drunkenly asks the Israelites to listen to God's laws. So this is something that he's told them before, but he's kind of reminding them, making sure that they don't forget any of them. And as a reminder to them all for why they should bother listening and not get back to enjoying their drinks is that there is a pretty big incentive or a stick for them to actually be obedient. And he reminds them that, remember, all those people who were worshiping Baal didn't go so well for them. That's the stick. And also reminding them that there's the carrot, is that you've got God on your side. If you're going to have anyone on your side that you want, you know, he's the one to have. And so if they follow the laws, they'll continue to have God close to them, protecting them, and all that sort of stuff.
Did this feel a little bit like a hostage situation to you? Where Moses is like, remember, these are good laws, okay? We have good laws here. We are fine. They are treating us well. Like, don't worry about it. It's like he's blinking in Morse code.
I believe it is a primitive form of communication known as Morse code.
You still think he's wanting to kind of cozy up to God? Or is that he's afraid of judgment for slagging off all these rules?
Yeah, I think the second one. I think he's really trying to let the Israelites know, like, no, he means it. Like, look what happened to me. You all really need to be obedient here. Like, please listen to this guy. He says that they're good laws, but it doesn't matter if they're good or bad. You just need to follow them.
Yeah, when he said they were very good laws, he did have kind of a bit of a glint in his eye that maybe he was saying, you know, now's a good time to just go along with it and not question things too much. And he asks them particularly to think back and to remember the day at Mount Sinai when they received the stone tablets with the Ten Commandments on them. And this was something that Moses was in charge of, getting all these laws written down. It took him a while he was there. 40 days, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. 40 seems a magic number for God. He really likes that number.
He does. He likes his 40s.
So Moses is reminding them, hey, I put all these things down on the stone tablets. You're good to go with these.
It's a bit of a strange thing to be reminding them of, because immediately after that, it was a complete debacle with the golden calf and Aaron letting things get out of control, with the people starting to worship the calf instead of God. So I'm wondering why he's even bringing this up. I think this goes to what you were saying earlier, is that he's really trying to stick it to God. He's like, remember all of these times when we had to punish people? Like, you still need me around to keep order. Remember how good I am. Remember how effective I am. Like, you don't want Aaron, right? Look at what happens when we hand things over to another leader.
Yeah, that makes sense. I could see why he would be playing that subtext down for sure. Moses reminds them that they shouldn't be worshiping any idols. And the logic here was that when God was announcing the laws, he didn't have a visible form. So God's taken a number of forms throughout the show. He's been pillars of fire. He's had sort of clouds that people will follow. And so he's kind of big on not actually showing up. When he was delivering these laws, he was absolutely not in a physical form. And that seems to be the reason given for why they shouldn't be making any idols.
And Moses actually lists a bunch of options here. So you can't make a statue of a god that's anything on earth or anything in the skies or anything in the water. And I'm going, what about dragons? What about unicorns? I think God's telegraphing here via Moses that unicorn worship is totally fine. That you can't make any idols of any of the creatures that actually exist, but if you want to go bow down to a Pegasus, like, go right ahead. Go sick. Knock yourself out.
I like it. Yeah. I wonder if Moses got the hint because he was sort of listing out all the things that you couldn't be. But you're right. He left a giant loophole there, or maybe a deliberate gap, where he's going to say, yeah, you know, I'd quite like to see some mythical creatures created in idol form. So please go to town with those. I don't feel threatened by those because they don't actually exist.
Rule two, no make-believe things like pink dragons and stuff.
So if you want to do it, go right ahead.
Yeah, all of those cities in Canaan are going to be decorated with big statues of mermaids and minotaurs and dragons.
That'd be pretty cool.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
So once again, Moses reiterates that God is punishing him for all the behavior of the Israelites. So he's pretty keen for them to actually listen to everything, because sure, it's pretty bad, the FOMO from not being allowed to enter Canaan, but who knows what other things God could come up with.
It's strange to see him like this. He really is going dark in a way that hopefully will pay off and become interesting. I wonder if something's going to snap at some point, because he brings this up like four or five times. I think we're seeing a villain origin story unfolding in front of our eyes here.
For Moses, you mean?
For Moses, yeah. It's a little Joker, right? Like society has now cast him out, and so he is going to take his terrible revenge.
Why so serious?
Right. Yeah, I'd watch that. It does seem like he's quite bitter about it. I think he's almost spiteful. I get the sense that this is growing within him.
Yeah, we'll watch double if Joaquin Phoenix is involved, because damn. Mm. Just putting it out there, if anybody in casting is listening, I will take that recast on Moses and watch the Dark Moses spinoff that we are writing here.
And there is a little bit of a loophole allowed for worshipping of false idols, because God says if you do it, he'll destroy you. But if you do it and ask for forgiveness, then you get forgiven. So a little bit of mixed messaging here. On the one hand, just do not do it. It's all going to go wrong for you if you do. On the other hand, if you do it and ask for forgiveness, you're all set. What did you make of that? That seems like a pretty easy out.
I was thinking of it less as an easy out and more of a toxic relationship, right? All of the mixed messaging, all of the like, well, if you do this, I will totally destroy you. But, oh, sweetie, it's okay. Like, I can be nice to you if you're nice to me. Just don't misbehave, right? Like, I was getting that talking on both sides of his mouth version of the laws. And I'm like, you should run away from this guy. No second dates for this guy.
Yes, 100%.
And it's interesting. God isn't really paying attention anymore at this point. Actually, nobody at this party is paying a whole lot of attention anymore. Our shots stay mostly on Moses, but occasionally they're cutting around to different little conversational pockets at this party. They were using a lot of strange camera angles, I think, to make up for the fact that it was just a very talky episode. So we got a bunch of Dutch cants on people having conversations, or some extreme close-ups on God's face as he was sipping his after-dinner tea and all of that kind of stuff. But everyone seems to have checked out a while ago.
I mean, they were, at this point, they've heard this so often that they must be just exhausted, honestly, of it and of Moses. If anything, it's kind of a miracle they're staying around for so long. Probably they know that God's in the room, and that if they don't listen and sort of nod, then there's a lightning bolt going up their ass.
Yeah, they're going to get socially excluded and bitten by a fiery serpent.
And God says that one thing to remember here is that no other nation has a God that treats them like God does. Well, that's, and that is true for sure. Uh-huh. No one treats them quite like God does, even if they do have their own deity. So for that reason, they should obey them. He's unique, exactly. And for that reason alone, you should be obeying him. And it's very mafia-esque kind of warning that, because if you do, you'll continue to be treated well. Mm-hmm. The inference that if you don't, maybe that treatment won't be so good.
Work well, and you will be treated well. Work badly, and you will die.
But on the other hand, like just a couple of episodes, a bunch of them started worshiping Baal. Like, come on. How many fucking reminders do you need? It's not that hard. Just make a statue of a unicorn and have done with it. Stop sleeping around with a bunch of Baal worshippers. You're going to get stabbed with a javelin.
Yeah, you're right. But then from Moses' perspective, he said that and then they've ignored it. He must think that these I've got memories of a goldfish, and that you need to keep repeating it just to keep them, you know, remembering it.
Yeah. This is real parent of a toddler energy. It's like, I have told you 1,000 times? Mm-hmm. Young man, right. You are going to be in such trouble if you don't remember it this time. No more worshiping Baal. Go sit in the corner. No dessert.
Right.
Yeah, the only other way that I was interpreting this is that Moses is like selling God. So it partly had hostage situation energy, like, no, our God is a good God. He's definitely good. Like, nothing wrong here. We're all fine. We're being treated well. And the other side of it was like, come on, look at this God. No other nation has a God like this. Where are you going to find such a good God? You could go to my neighbor's shop. He's got discount gods, but this God's the best. If you buy today, I'll throw in a mini vegetable shopper and free shipping and handling.
Damn good deal.
I guess it does have a bit of that sort of like TV ad energy where it's, yes, exactly. Here is why you should be purchasing this for sure.
Buy one, get one free. Oh my God, can you imagine if there were two of them? Shit. Oh,
Jesus. Hey, careful what you say, because he could make that happen very easily. True. He just duplicate himself.
That's true.
Yes.
Oh, does he have an evil twin? He totally has an evil twin, doesn't he?
Yeah, maybe they've been swapping in and out and we haven't even realized. That would explain some things.
Oh, I think we have realized. I think we've chalked that up to dissociative personality disorder, but maybe it's twins this whole time. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's more than one of them up there.
The twins, yes! We're going to see the twins, yes!
And so at this point, Moses waves his arm in the air and says, all right, I've told you again. Now you can go continue with the rest of your party or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so the rest of the crowd all kind of like disengage a little bit. And then he's like drunkenly, of course, Joshua, come to Moses. Come to Moses. We've got to have a chat. You mm-hmm. and me, we're best buds, right? I love you, man. got to tell you a few other things. Mm-hmm. And now we transition to Moses drunkenly slurring his way through various points that he wants to cover directly to Joshua.
Did you see the look on Caleb's face? It is a great cut to Caleb here, as Moses says the rest of the party can go, but Joshua has to stay after class. Mm-hmm. And Caleb is like, oh, not me. Okay. Maybe this whole not being made leader thing is going to work out well for me. He was so relieved. You could see it just wash over his face as he just sits back in his chair and orders up another cosmopolitan and goes on with his partying while Moses drunkenly throws an arm around Joshua's neck and starts walking him away from this party.
Right. Literally wiping his brow comedically to show that he's pretty happy with this mm-hmm. outcome.
The look on Joshua's face was a little bit shell-shocked. I think he was not expecting to be given the mantle of leadership quite so soon. I think he doesn't quite know how big a job he's taking on, but he was listening with increasing horror at all of these reminders and all the laws and all the things that he has to remember and all of the ways that he has to talk to the Israelites. So I think he is sobering up at this point.
Yeah, I saw him at times making copious notes, because he's going to be aware once he's in this role, he's going to be responsible for everything that the Israelites do. So it makes sense that he was really just focusing on getting those rules and laws down so that, he knows exactly what he's responsible for.
I do not envy him that job. I mean, he seemed like a little bit of a meathead before, coming out of the army, and maybe he's not quite ready for this level of responsibility, but he's going to have to grow up fast. And Moses grabbed a very prominently placed bottle of Korbel champagne. Did you clock this? I keep wondering how they're going to work in corporate sponsorships in various ways, especially after Levi's Jeans sponsored the entirety of season 3. I'm like, okay, where are we going with the product placement? But we've got the champagne in there, so we know that they're still making some money on those ad placements. So as Moses stumbles away from this party, leaning on Joshua for support, he goes back to the time that God spoke to them at Mount Sinai, and he repeats all of the Ten Commandments word for word. I get why Joshua needs to hear it. I don't get why I need to hear it as a member of the audience. Someone in the writer's room thought that this would make for good TV, and they were wrong. Boring.
Yes, they were wrong. I wonder if they were just also trying to just show just quite how drunk Moses had gotten. Like, he's doing that thing where he's kind of repeating himself again and again and saying it in just slightly different ways. Mm-hmm. Be like, yeah, I get it. I got it. Don't need to repeat it. Totally understand. Yeah, he's kind of that drunken rambling.
And it was a way to work in a little bit of humor, right? Like, and no coveting your neighbor's wife. And no, coveting your neighbor's wife. And remember, where was I? Right, no coveting your neighbor's wife. And you're like, Moses, you're really on that one. Are you trying to telegraph something here?
Right.
And then Moses reminds Joshua how everybody else was afraid of hearing God's voice when God was announcing the Ten Commandments the first time because they thought they might die. So the Israelites had asked Moses to be the representative. You go listen to God and then you come back and tell us what God said rather than having to listen directly. And at the time, God agreed to this, sent everybody back to their tents. And this is the time when Moses went up to Mount Sinai for 40 days to write down all of the rest of the laws.
Looking back, it was actually pretty brave of Moses to do that, right?
Yeah.
If you are afraid of hearing God's voice because it's going to melt your face off or something like that,
right,
then you're going to be pretty courageous to be like, well, okay, you guys don't have to hear it, but I'll be the one who I'll take the heat. I'll go and listen to him speak. It reminded me that at least in the early days, Moses was actually he was the man. And he definitely had a spine.
And he had all this privilege and this deep friendship with God at that point, where God had him up to his house and had him in his living room. And they were together for 40 whole days. And to have gone from that kind of relationship to this bitter, resentful place that we are now, I think it's helpful to have these reminders of where we've been. I might have done it a little bit less explicitly than the Holy Bible Show chose to, but seeing that change in these characters' relationship has been really satisfying, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Nice to have that character development. Not a lot of shows, or some shows don't have that, and the characters kind of just stay very similar. If you think about for shows like Friends and things like that, there's only a little amount of character development. In reality, they're pretty much set in the terms of their personalities. So to actually have that change and shift a bit, that's kind of nice. Very modern approach to a show.
Very modern, absolutely.
So Moses is telling Joshua that they've got to teach these laws to all the children, the grandchildren. You've got to write them down, in particular, writing them on your doorposts, binding them on their hands and between your eyes. So this is actually writing the commandments down between your eyes. That's what I took from it.
I took from it that God is pro-bondage.
Okay.
He's all about binding things on your arms and on your eyes. Maybe there's a blindfold situation and there's a bit of a handcuffy situation. Maybe God has finally gotten wise to the fact that these people are kind of clueless and need lots and lots of reminders. He's like, you know what? Just strap it to your fucking forehead. And then maybe you'll remember not to start worshiping Baal.
Yeah, stick a post-it note on your forehead constantly and just have that around. Yeah.
And having it on your arm makes sense because you can actually look at that like through the day. You're like, shit, what am I supposed to be doing? Should I be eating that bird of prey? Do I really want to be sleeping with my aunt? Like, let me just check here. Nope, this says not to. So maybe they'll think twice if they've got it written all over their body.
Yeah, I mean, I guess between your eyes, it's really not for you, it's for other people. So that when you look someone in the eye, you don't just see that, but you see the rules. And so the idea is everyone will be squinting at each other, trying to read all of the text.
And all the text on the doorposts, too. Part of everybody's house is going to be decorated with these laws. It's like Egypt,
right?
I think God is really into doorposts. He wanted blood on the doorposts in Egypt, and now he wants a bunch of laws. But you're going to have to write really small.
Laws are going to have to go around the doorpost all the way down, like a spiral as well. I mean, that's impossible to read.
I bet there's going to spring up a whole guild of people who have very, very fine-tipped pens, and they're going to come around and do your doorpost. And you're going to look at your neighbor's doorpost. If you're thinking of moving into the neighborhood, you want to see how fine the workmanship is on the laws that are on the doorpost so that you know that it's a good neighborhood where people mow their lawns and there's a good school system and all that, you know, the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah, I think the doorpost engraving lobby has been talking to God and whispering in his ear.
Yeah.
And this is the result that he's like, yeah, you got to have it written down. You need to get it engraved in your doorposts.
I mean, I just have a post-it note that says, did you leave the oven on? But these people are going full force into writing down all of the reminders that you could ever possibly need on your doorposts.
And Moses reminds them that not only do they have to keep these laws, but don't forget, don't worship other gods. No more Baal worshiping or anything like that. Mm-hmm. God is the only one for you. And if the children ask, why are we doing all of this? Why are we obeying these laws? Why are we worshiping just this one God? Then the Israelites should tell them it's because he brought them out of Egypt. So really just trying to remind them of exactly why God's done what he's done.
I think this is good parenting advice, right? If you've got an annoying, whiny brat in your house who won't stop following you around and asking, why? Just distract them with the story about Egypt.
The answer is always because he led us out of Egypt. That's just the answer. Yeah. Like, but why can't I? Why do I have to go to bed now? Because he led us out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yep. God freed us from slavery, so now we are slaves to his commandments forever. Now go the fuck to sleep.
Audible Inc. presents Go the Fuck to Sleep.
He's like really riding on this past success of getting them out of Egypt and out of slavery, and he really wants to make sure they don't forget it. Remember that cool thing I did that one time? Okay, you're stuck with me forever.
Remember in high school when I won the game? We know it was 30 years ago. Uh-huh. Enough.
Yep. I think Moses is really worried about what's going to happen next. So I think in the midst of all of this soup of him being upset and bitter that he can't go to Canaan and also being angry at God about it and feeling upset that he's going to die soon, I think he's genuinely a bit worried about what's going to happen when he's not around anymore. He's been in charge of these people for over 40 years at this point, you know, since leading them out of Egypt. And I don't think he trusts Joshua. I think a lot of this speechifying is to like really make sure that Joshua's ready, right? You don't remind somebody about the same thing 15 times if you really think that they're on the ball.
Well, Moses has repeatedly sort of shown that he wants to still be around. He wants to still be leader. So yeah, he's probably feeling quite resentful for this upstart who's going to kind of come in here and take over. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's not feeling particularly positive towards Joshua at all.
Yeah, it's like Steve Jobs energy, right? Like he founded the company and now they're firing him from the company that he founded. Then finally, Moses gives Joshua a little bit of actionable intel. Moses says that when the Israelites enter Canaan, they need to completely destroy the seven nations that already live there. You know what this means, Marcus? Do you know what's waiting for them in Canaan? It is a literal seven nation army.
Oh.
You ready? Do the guitar riff, right? I thought I caught a little bit of that riff in the music background here. I can't be sure, and I'm sure there's all kinds of legal stuff about licensing and God knows what, but I think they were aware of the reference that they were making.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. And maybe you could get the White Stripes at one of the cons to play.
Oh my God.
For all the attendees. That would be
pretty
awesome.
That would be so cool. Can we get the White Stripes on stage with the Sons of Heth? And they can just rock out. How fucking awesome would that concert be? Yes.
That would be, yes, that's what's got to happen. That's going to be the main event at this point, mm-hmm. if you get that happening.
Yeah. Oh, I hope so. I'm going to go back and start refreshing the con page. Although, ever since I misread Newark for New York, I am not trusting a damn thing that I read on that website. I'm going to blame their font. They're using a terrible font over there.
Yeah, they're going for a kind of an oldie-worldy kind of font, but it makes it actually quite difficult to read.
See, it's not my fault. It's the accessibility options are bad.
There you go.
So, yeah, White Stripes aside, they have to destroy these seven armies because God chose them, and they are, and I quote, a special treasure to him. This started to feel a little bit icky to me. Mm. Like, this goes back to some of that toxic relationship things. Like, you have to do this. I'm going to make you do this. You definitely want to do this on my behalf because you're so special to me. God is negging. Moses reports that God has this whole bit about how, you know, I didn't choose you because you were the largest nation.
You read the Bible, Ringo?
Not regularly, no.
Well, there's this passage I got memorized.
Deuteronomy 7:6. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself. a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples.
I never gave much thought to what it meant. I just thought it was some cold-blooded shit to say to a motherfucker before I popped a cap in his ass.
I chose you because you're special to me. You know, actually, you're pretty small. Also kind of ugly. You know, you should be damn grateful that you've got my attention. I've got to keep you under lock and key, but it's because I love you and want to protect you. It's bad.
Yeah, calling something or someone a special treasure, you're either going to have grandparent energy where it's kind of just older person and you kind of let them go. But if it's anything other than that, it becomes kind of creepy.
I think he was going for grandparent energy, but I was getting creepy boyfriend energy. Maybe it's Moses' line delivery, and that's not quite what God intended when he said that, and this is being filtered through Moses' bitterness, but something here didn't sound right to me.
True, I hadn't considered that Moses is the one filtering it through, so especially when he's talking directly just to Joshua. Mm-hmm. It's possible that he's making a few changes here or there, tweaking it. It's going to come from his perspective.
A blessing from the Lord.
Before Deanna and Marcus wrap up this episode, I am here to tell you that my 11th commandment is, you shall not enjoy this podcast without rating and reviewing it.
Good idea, O Lord.
Help others to find this podcast by rating and reviewing it on your podcast app. Now let's return to the action.
God be praised.
Me be praised. God out.
And the last thing that Moses reminds Joshua of is that Moses says, again, that they have to obey God's laws because God will not hesitate to punish those who hate him. He's going to bring the fight to you personally. We've seen no evidence of this so far. So I think this is, again, Moses engaging in some wishful thinking or maybe trying to get God to live up to this.
Yeah, and also the way he whispered it to Joshua. You know, man, he will punish you if he thinks you hate him. It felt like a moment of him being honest and just sort of letting Joshua know, like, this is not a good gig that you've got here.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Yeah, and we leave it on Joshua's face as he's trying to absorb all of this news and figure out how he's going to handle it. A much more sober man than left the party a little while ago to have this jet.
So with that, we've reached the part of the episode where I ask you, Deanna, what do we think about this God character?
I am not the God of war. I am the God of truth.
God likes to watch. He's a prankster.
Blasphemy. You're lucky I don't cast you out or smite you or something.
You've been doing a lot of complaining about me. Quite frankly, I'm tired of it.
How shall we fuck off, O Lord?
Well, God himself doesn't do much this episode. So on the one hand, I'm kind of neutral. But Moses' description of him is very troubling. Lots of language in here that sounds like relationship abuse and manipulation, and I'm really not getting a good feeling about this God character. I want to note, like we just said, that is filtered through Moses' own perspective right now, that is very bitter and upset at the punishment that he's receiving that he feels is unfair, so he might not be the most reliable narrator. But even if we take it with a grain of salt, it seems like God is not the best person to be in a partnership with. That's my impression. What do you think about this God character?
Yeah, I agree. This episode has been an opportunity to look back a little bit and reflect on what God has said and what God's done recently. And it reminded me that even though he's given out these Ten Commandments, at no point has he justified any of them. No point has he said, this is why this is a particular commandment. And I thought, if you're going to put down these rules and be so severe in your punishment, at least tell people why. At least tell people the reasoning. I mean, we can work out some of them ourselves, like why you should not murder, etc. But other ones are maybe a little bit less obvious. So at least explain it. But he didn't. He just gave everyone these particular commandments. So for that reason, yeah, I'm overall kind of negative on him.
He didn't explain most of them, but he over-explained one of them, which is don't worship other gods.
Yeah, that's super. That's really important to him.
Incessantly. Yeah. And like, we know why that's important to him, because he is super egotistical and he wants all of the attention and all of the law-giving abilities to rest with him.
That is clearly the most important rule of all of them, given how much time he's put to it.
Yeah. Don't worship other gods. Don't make idols. You cannot make idols of anything that lives on the earth or the land or the sea, and just unicorns. Oh, I've got it. That's what he's doing in his secret lab. He's making unicorns.
Interesting.
And he's going to unleash them on the world. He's a brony. That explains everything.
God is a brony.
God is a brony. We figured it out. That's what we think of as God character. And now we've come to the time in the episode where I ask you, Marcus, what was the weirdest name that you found in this week's episode?
I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Say my name.
Dickus. Dickus?
Goddamn right.
I have a very great friend in Rome called Bigus Dickus.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Wait, no, seriously, what's your actual name?
Wait, your Bigus Dickus hears of this.
This one was very easy for me, because there is a heck of a weirdest name. It's referencing a particular nation of people, and it's the Gurgashites.
Yes!
Because, my God, what a name. And if you just alter it, if you just remove one letter, you end up with Gigashites, like the ultimate shites, the Gigashite.
Right.
Don't be a Gigashite. Maybe I'll start using that. What a Gigashite. That was just, that just jumped off the screen to me.
Yes, me too. I had the same one. Amazing.
Oh, wow. I think that's the first time we've both had the same weirdest name.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yep, I heard that one, and I'm like, yep, that's gotta be it. Hey, God, don't be a Gigashite. Give your man Moses a bit of a break here. Come on. Well, we will come back next week to see if God, in fact, gives his man Moses a break, either by killing him or by relenting on this punishment. I'm not sure. And until then, I will say to you, Marcus, pod be with you.
Pod be with you.
Amen.
Amen.
To continue the conversation, follow us on social media at Wrath of Pod. To get in touch, email us at mail@wrathofpod.com. Pod be with you.
All views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and are presented for entertainment and commentary purposes only. Any third-party music, clips, or other media are included solely for the purpose of critique, commentary, review, or transformative use, all of which fall within fair use. We make no claim of ownership over included third-party material, which remains the property of its respective owners. This podcast is not affiliated with, endorsed by, or sponsored by any of the creators, owners, or distributors of included media.